When I was a little kid, that was concrete, but you slid down on a paper box, like a cardboard box or something like that. I was always afraid the cardboard box would be pulverized and you just like end up like...
I'm always afraid that'll happen with my body.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's why you get the cardboard box, dude. Or a carpet sandler or something like that. Welcome! You are currently listening to Know It All, the podcast, where Tay and Kay tell it like it is. Tonight, we're going to be talking about one of our favorite subjects, nudity.
Yes, nudity.
Nudity. Disrobed. You know, the other day, I saw a film.
What film?
Amadeus.
Ah.
Yeah, yeah. Starring Beethoven, playing the role of Mozart. And there was a scene in the film in which Mozart's wife... shows her breasts to Patrick Stewart. And he just looks at them for a moment. And he stares at her, and he stares at them,
mm-hmm.
He stares at her again, and then he turns away. And then she instantly is brought to tears.
Interesting.
And I wondered, why did she just start crying? I mean, she just, you know, she just removed her. She gave them a breath. It's not a big deal. And he didn't seem to react one way or the other. I don't see what the problem is. And I was even more confused when later I watched a documentary that very same day in which this tribe of in Africa, they bungee jump off of a small wooden tower onto their heads as a rite of passage. It's like 10 feet, and they all do it, and no one seems to really be hurt by it. But what stunned me was that everybody in the tribe, virtually everybody, was naked. And no one seemed to mind. They were jolly men, happy to watch their son, nephew, grandson, or what have you, hop off of this thing and land right on his head. He seemed fine afterwards, and he was crying, but I'm pretty sure that was because, you know...
He was just falling on his head.
Square on his noggin.
Lucky to be crying after that.
Lucky to be crying and not dying. And I think... a question arose in my head. Why is some nudity okay, but not others? And I think that is what really brought us to research nudity as a whole and bring it to you, the audience.
Mm.
And I think there's only one type of nudity that's almost completely universally acceptable, and that's nudity at birth.
Ah, well, that's interesting that you bring that up, and it's a good place to start, too. Most people, such as me and you, believe mm-hmm. that when you're born, you're nude, but that's not the case. Actually, when you are born, there is a substance which is covering your entire body. It's mm-hmm. called prismo. It was discovered by Juan Rodriguez Prismo in 1843.
In that case, it would be pronounced prismo.
Okay. So prismo is a naturally occurring mammalian fluid, which is it's a threaded fluid that essentially works like a cloth.
Almost like spider silk or something like that.
Very similar to spider silk. Actually, we'll get to that in a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Prismo, as yeah. I said, it's a mammalian trait, along mm-hmm. with like mammary glands. It's one of the way that we give birth. It's one of the
hair.
It's one of the things that makes us mammals.
So that is why they call it a birthday suit, because when you come out of the womb, you are currently wearing a suit of prismo.
That's good. I didn't even think of that, but that's probably why.
Yeah.
Right.
Etymology is one of my favorite subjects.
Right. So, so speaking of animals, though, and prismo, mammals have prismo. Porpoises, water mammals tend to secrete prismo
almost constantly,
because it reduces drag in the water. Prismo research has actually led to the development of some really incredible everyday items, including polyester, Kevlar, insulation, Vaseline, tonic water, and tartar sauce.
Wow, prismo is an absolutely incredible thing.
It's vital.
So animals produce prismo. Well, what about haired animals, like animals like dogs or cats or something like that? They have a need for prismo.
Absolutely, they
prismo.
Well, they do, but it's different on a different level. For example, dogs secrete Prepmo through their saliva, mm-hmm. which is why they'll often, like, it's not because they're, sometimes it's because they're cleaning, but more often than not, it's to cover, it's to put Prepmo on their
They're being against. Incredibly polite.
They're, yeah, so next time you're eating dinner and you're about to scold your dog because he's, you know, licking himself right by the table, he's actually being more thoughtful than you think.
Yeah, you should get your elbows off the table before you start complaining about your dog.
Right, now you might also say too, though, like, well, I can still see that That's dog. That's not, yeah. For a dog, the primary sense is smell, so to put Prepmo on it, it's covering up the smell, too. So for a dog, dog world, it acts as a form of coverage.
Look, clothing. Yeah, there's different types of coverage, though, wouldn't you say?
Right. I think using the word clothing is not fully, it's not accurate, because coverage is a better word. Yeah. There's actually three levels of nudity. You know, okay. Do you know this?
Of course, absolutely. Okay. I mean, there's the obvious one, full frontal or back-all nudity.
Full frontal nudity, which consists of wearing no clothing.
No clothing, absolutely nothing.
No coverage, no Prepmo.
And standing right in front of someone, in front of like either yourself in the mirror or in front of others, and knowing that you are indeed completely uncovered, whether by various obstructions or any sort of clothing, or in the case of Botticelli's The Birth of Venus, even your extremely long hair qualifies.
Right. Well, beyond that, though, it's interesting that you bring up The Birth of Venus, because there is the hair covering her breasts and her nether regions, but even if you took away, if she had a bald head and she was completely uncovered, she would still not be nude because she's wearing a smile. Oh. And that's where the term wearing a smile came from, because it would distract from
the nudity,
from the actual nudity, and definitely should be wearing them. So there's also partial nudity.
Partial nudity.
Which is the most common.
You are currently in a state of partial nudity
right now. I am.
Right now.
I've got socks on.
You have socks on.
And you are also partially nude.
I've got a hat on.
I can see your neck. I can see your beard. I can see everything that your hat isn't covering. So that is, most people will spend the majority, if not the entirety of their life, in a state of partial nudity. And that sounds like as good a time as any.
To hear a word from our sponsors. Are you looking for an easy way to spruce up your home?
In need of a security system on a tight budget?
Interested in learning an instrument with no musical background?
Well, sounds like you could use a bell.
And what better place to fill all your bell needs than Bell's Bells?
Small bells, medium bells, large bells, doorbells, bar bells, church bells, and bell balls.
Balls filled with bells. This week, Bell's is having a sale on handbells for that special town crier in your life.
Bell's Bells, located off exit 34 right by the Taco Bell.
Bell's Bells, making swell bells since 1953.
If it's not bells, it's bull.
Now there's still another type of nudity, or lack thereof.
Right, it's referred to as un-nudity, or fully covered, which is when you're quite simply covered from head to toe with coverage, or
even your eyes? Everything. Completely covered.
Everything. So if I was wearing like a hazmat suit and I had a finger poking out, I would be partially nude. But that finger's not poking out?
You'd be the shame of the nuclear power plant.
Right. In fact, let me ask you, when was the last time you were completely covered?
If blankets qualify as clothing, then every night.
Because
I cover myself always.
Okay. When you're sleeping? Okay.
I am a very frightened and fearful individual, and I like to feel as if I'm in a womb, smothered in Prepmo. Yeah. Other than that, though, I do sleep naked, so I'm wondering if I'm fully exposed. Is that still nudity, or
no?
No,
that's
what
not
is, what is not nudity. Now there are
that changes from society to society, the levels of nudity.
Absolutely. I mean, there are societies which actively shun nudity. Very famously, the Puritans were apparently a very anti-sexual culture. The Victorian England was also required women to be extraordinarily covered, men to a far lesser degree. And then you have the zenith of that, which is super fundamentalist Islamic culture, is you know, ruled by, but places like Afghanistan before women have to wear full hijabs and only their eyes can be seen.
Sometimes their faces, right?
Sometimes their faces, but I'm really not sure what the reason for that is, and I think that is one of the things that made me bring up tonight's big question, which is why some nudity, but not others. And I'm very confused by that. I mean, there are historical examples.
Right. Well, why don't we go back to the beginning? The very first
law about nudity.
Yeah, ever imposed was imposed in 1468 by Pope Sixtus IV, after a very famous speech in which he clothed a nude statue and declared victory, a holy victory over nudity, and then the hat was, the clothing, which was just a hat, was blown off
the statue, and right. He looked like a fool.
He
went on a rampage after that.
He went on a rampage and said that no Italian citizen is allowed to be nude at any time, requiring people in public bathhouses to wear a hat or a belt or a sash or socks or something. There was a very famous incident where he actually walked into a bathhouse and arrested everyone who was nude in there, which accounted for 36 men, women, and children.
Wow.
And all of them were flogged publicly in the nude.
In order to humiliate them under his new circumstances, which was that nudity was an embarrassing thing to attain.
It was heretical. And this went on for a while. Eventually, this guy, Trillius, got involved. Trillius was a merchant of high moral standing, but like no, never really attained a position of power. But
like a proto-Medici.
Sort of. I'll say yes. Yes.
Yes. Okay. Let's just go with yes.
Right. So he was a merchant, and he was arrested by Sixtus personally for selling a naked statue. Now, even with Sixtus's law, this was not a breach of the law in any way.
And there were no pornography laws back then.
Right. I mean, and when he was brought to court, they were like, he has not broken any law, so we'll let him go.
And we'll get back to Sixtus's story after a word from our sponsors.
Boy, Taylor sure has been getting cold lately.
Yep, winter is upon us.
Winter? What's that? Some kind of topping?
Winter is that special time of year when Jack Frost reigns supreme.
So, how am I supposed to prepare for the sudden regime change? Textbooks?
No.
Canned goods?
Not those either.
Hot cocoa?
Oh, you're getting warm.
Oh, a crackling fire.
Bet you'll need something to keep you cozy by that fire.
I know. A blanket.
Ding, 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 ding!
Oh, but where am I supposed to get a blanket? Certainly not in this beautiful bell shop.
Hey, all of your blanket needs could be found right next door to the bell shop on Ridge Avenue. Blankets Boutique.
Okay. Let's go there now! Bring! Wow, so many blankets! Cotton? Insulated? Down? Afghan?
Polyester? Felt? Canvas? Knit?
With so many choices, I've no clue how to bundle
them. In layers, that's how. Nothing layers better than a few blankets from Blankets.
Uh-oh, Taylor. I think I left that crackling bonfire going back in the studio.
Hey, no worries, Kevin. Blankets has emergency blankets for every occasion, from house fires to airport bombings.
And that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. Now, back to Trillius. Last we met, we were talking about his court case and how it was thrown out.
Right, he was thrown out, but as soon as he was released, his family, his wife and children and pets were all killed. His business was burned to the ground, as was his house, and his land was taken, seized, and given to the church.
As was papal law back at that time.
That's the way things went. So Trillius came home and found everything, his entire life was shattered. And he went into sort of a trance rage and started marching towards the city. And being a man of moral standing as he was, he accumulated people along the way. They saw this man, sort of otherworldly state, and they followed him.
Couldn't help but follow such an aggressive and passionate figure.
And it was an 11-mile march to the capital.
So he gathered a lot of people.
They say it was close to 2,000 people. 2,000 people all of a sudden converged on the Vatican capital. And by this point, I imagine that Trillius had time to collect his thoughts, and he told his crowd of people, "You hang out here for a moment. I'm going to go inside and have a word with Sixtus."
Now, Sixtus's story is a bit controversial at this point.
I'd say it's completely controversial. I'd say you have to throw it out. It's so controversial.
He is rather biased in that he claims that Trillius immediately burst in and, frothing at the mouth, attempted to murder Sixtus.
But that just doesn't make any sense. Because if Trillius was there to murder Sixtus, why would he have told his army, his crew, to stay outside? He would have just brought him in.
Ripped him up.
Let's kill this guy.
Yeah.
But that's not what happened.
No.
Moments later, 15 minutes maybe, Sixtus marches Trillius out on the balcony overlooking this crowd of people. Sixtus is claiming that Trillius is a heretic, a threat to the church,
right.
And Sixtus stripped Trillius nude, put a noose around his neck, and pushed him off the ledge of the balcony, swinging to his death over the heads of the people who had followed him there to support him.
Mm-hmm. Well, they were obviously enraged by this.
Of course they were. And they, as legend has it, tore all their clothes off, stripped nude.
Looked like a resplendent, furious mob.
Stormed the palace and literally ripped Sixtus to pieces with their bare hands and feet.
Not before ripping him straight up naked.
Yeah.
The guards, apparently, began ripping their own clothes and armor off in order to appear.
Save their hides.
Yeah, save their hides, I mean, quite literally.
I mean, I'd do that, too.
Yeah, I mean, if 2,000 naked people, I could just not get naked. The peer pressure, my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
Now, this just kind of...
I'd feel weird not being naked, being the only one with clothing.
Yeah, I mean, what would you do if you were just standing in a room full of naked people and you feel like the creep?
You're the one wearing clothes.
You're the weird one.
I mean, do you think that much peer pressure would be like, well, I better get this off. I better get this off.
It wouldn't even be an issue of lust, really. I mean, you just have to get naked.
Yeah, it'd be an issue of, I mean, there's the chance that maybe if you don't get naked that you're like, you're breaking some societal code. Like, am I being disrespectful to your culture by not being naked?
Perhaps. I mean, there are societal codes for nudity, which we've discussed a little bit, but there's also laws about nudity. And I had a little bit of trouble finding things on the internet about this. Obviously, I don't want to go to the library and look at nudity because I don't want people seeing me looking at books of naked ladies and naked men and thinking I'm some sort of weirdo.
And asking the librarian for those things. Because you can't find... It's a library. You can't find anything.
You can't just go up to the librarian and say, excuse me, miss, where is your nudity?
Where's your nude section?
Yeah, I mean, like, it's in the ends. How many books start with this section? Come on. I went to the internet for my search. I went to Google, and I typed in nudity. And of course, I had a wealth of information available to me, but unfortunately, after a few hours, I didn't really turn up anything related to nudity laws. All I saw was a few warnings at the bottoms of pages asking me to leave if I was under 18. That's the big one. You know, if you're under 18, you can't see naked things. Apparently not even yourself.
Which is weird, because I remember being nude... Before I was 18.
Laws were more lax when we were kids.
That's true. Times changed.
Didn't have the internet. Yeah. So, in order to spice things up, I typed in illegal nudity, and that was a treasure trove of interesting information.
What did you get?
Well, what I got were a lot of very strange pictures. I just went straight to Google Image Search, because, I mean, first place to go, I just want pictures, you know?
Sure.
So, I typed in illegal nudity, went to Google Image Search pictures, and I just started printing. Just... anything. Just print.
That's what all this is.
This is all that I had left on me after I went out and did my research. What I did was, I know that you have the same general neutral reaction towards all, you know, the average person on the street might not feel the same way. We don't share the same values, the same politics, the same emotional general state that
people
can
be more sensitive.
People can be more sensitive. I wanted to pull a double blind on them, like in a traditional real psychological experiment. So I didn't tell them that I was showing them these pictures and that I wanted to gauge their reaction. I just walked up to them, showed it, and then scampered away.
Sort of like a flasher.
I flashed some kid or something, you know. So I showed them these pictures, and their reactions? Universal revulsion. Everyone was disgusted, not only with the pictures, but with me. Yeah. That's why I'm here, and that's why I can't leave this house for...
Interesting. I mean, there's...
quite a while.
There's places for that.
There are public bathhouses, mm-hmm. as we've mentioned.
Nude beaches.
Nude beaches.
Right. And a big popular thing in Europe are nude beaches. Some people will go all the way to Europe just to go to nude beaches.
Just to be naked.
But you'll hear the same thing from everyone who goes there.
Dangerous. Danger zone.
Dangerous, yes. And also, just most people will say that... it's filled with the people that you wouldn't want to be at a nude beach.
Gross.
It's interesting that you said dangerous, because along with just the evident danger of being nude and exposed to the elements at the same mm-hmm. time, nude beaches have become like a hot spot for gang violence and drugs, more recently, human trafficking.
I saw this also in my searches. I didn't think it was very interesting, though. It was mostly text.
I thought it was incredibly interesting. Just imagine nude gangs... like gangs of people, they don't even allow tattoos because they consider them coverage, mm-hmm. Battling each other to the death. You may recall the massacre at La Concha back in 2004. 112 gang members died in a nude melee on the beach.
It was put in your pockets. If you were fully armed, you know, and you're in, you know, a classic American, fully clothed gang, like, you know, gangs that we're used to.
Sure.
You know, if you have a gun, you try to conceal it in your clothing in some fashion. There, at a nude beach, not so much. You just gotta hold it. So this brings up an interesting point, and this brings us back to our original question, which is why we made this podcast. Why is nudity acceptable on these nude beaches in Europe, and why are these gangs totally okay being naked? But if I were to go into, you know, a dangerous neighborhood where gangs are prominent, fully naked in America, I would not be accepted. And I'm wondering, what is the deal? Why can some people be naked and it's totally fine? On television, you have beautiful women wearing hardly anything who seem to be the subject of adulation and society. Or conversely, you see people who are hounded, perhaps.
So on a personal level, I think that it's all about comfortability. Me, for example, I don't like to wear much clothing, but I will almost always wear socks.
Absolutely. And it's also because of world affairs. And I was watching this this documentary on this very isolated tribe in the Amazon, and they were talking about whether they should be exposed to the public or whether they should be hidden. And I found it kind of ironic that they were making a documentary about that at all.
And I noticed that there were
a lot of women in the tribe, older women, who were completely comfortable being totally naked. And everyone in the tribe seemed to respect and enjoy them.
Interesting.
And then it hit me. These tribes, as we said, are very isolated. They don't have access to the popular media that you and I do. That nudity is completely acceptable to them because they haven't seen a Beyonce or a David Beckham strutting their beautiful, taut, glistening bodies all over television and the stage. If Carl Weathers, for example, showed up smothered in oil, looking absolutely resplendent, these women with these withered old bosoms would immediately, I feel, cover them up. Conversely, though, I think if you take a look at cultures as we were speaking about earlier, fundamentalist Islamic nations, women who are fully covered. But I wonder, are they covered because they're unattractive? Because, or is it because
they may be so attractive that women would be so beautiful that the men would not be able to focus, really.
Yeah.
And the progress of the country would come to a standstill, if not degrade, because
their gross domestic product would shrink by at least half.
Right. So some women have to only show their eyes. They are the most beautiful ones of all.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that can show their faces are a little, not quite as much. They just, you know, they're kind of lacking in the face department.
Of course.
But that's the way it goes. It's,
yeah, I think that's the conclusion that we can draw now, is that the more beautiful you are, the more naked you can be. And the less attractive you are, the less naked you can be. And, you know, I think that's fair. I think that's a really reasonable assessment and a really reasonable conclusion to come to.
I have to disagree. I think that everyone should have the right to be as equally new as possible. But we're not here to agree with each other. We're just here to state the facts.
State the facts and state our bodies. Naked and proud. You've been listening to Know It All with Kay and Tay. I'm Tay.
I'm Kay.
And that's a wrap.
Make sure to stay tuned for our next episode about Samuel L. Jackson. This episode has been brought to you by Pro Write Paper. Now with lines.